Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
There is something in all of us that expects greatness to look a certain way. We expect leaders to stand tall, to be served, to command attention. Even in subtle ways, we measure influence by visibility, by authority and control. If someone is truly important, we assume they'll act like it. And if I'm honest, that expectation sneaks into my own heart more than I'd like to admit. Sometimes I want to be recognized. Sometimes I want my time to matter more than others. Sometimes I want to lead, but not always serve. And that's why Maundy Thursday feels so uncomfortable. Because tonight, we don't just see Jesus as king, we see what kind of king he actually is. And it's not what we expected. We live in a world that celebrates power. The higher you go, the less you're expected to do. The more important you are, the more people serve you. The goal is to rise above and not to kneel below. Even in our relationships, there's often a quiet scoreboard. Who's giving more? Who's sacrificing more? Who deserves to be served this time? And if we're not careful, the same mindset follows us into our faith. We want Jesus as king, but we often imagine a king who validates us, who elevates us, and secures our comfort. It's part of why Palm Sunday makes so much sense. It's a king, and he's riding in. A crowd is cheering. There's a movement of people building. Finally, this is what we expected. But then Holy Week happens and everything shifts. Because just days later, after Palm Sunday, on a quiet evening in an upper room, Jesus does something that no one saw coming. In John chapter 13, we find one of the most powerful and surprising moments in all of the Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you or you have your app on your phone, open it up to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Start reading in verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter says this to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand. You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested. "You will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Well, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." He always is extremes, right? Peter is an extreme person. Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus, knowing who he is, knowing his authority, knowing his origin, knowing where he's going, gets up from the table. He takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, he pours water into a basin, and then he begins to wash his disciples' feet. Understand something. This wasn't symbolic in their world. This was a shocking thing for someone to do in his position. Foot washing was the job of the lowest servant in the house, the one that had no status, no power, no recognition. And yet, here's Jesus, the king that they had been waiting for, on his knees, doing the work that no one else wanted to do. And Peter reacts the way most of us would. I actually thought about this. I thought about walking out there with a basin and starting to wash people's feet tonight. And I know that some of you be like, don't you dare, I'm out. I'm out the door. I ain't going to let you touch my feet, Pastor. No way. So you can understand, Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I imagine this like, what are you doing, man? Don't touch me. Don't touch my feet. In other words, Peter's saying, this is backwards. I should be the one doing this. If anyone's doing it, I should be doing it for you. Kings don't do this. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as we sang about tonight, he's not the one that's supposed to be bowing and kneeling and washing the dirtiest part of the body at that time. But the interesting thing is Jesus responds with something deeper than just explanation. Jesus gives meaning. Jesus gives meaning. Look at verses 13 through 15. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Here's the heart of it. The truth that I think anchors us tonight. The king we didn't expect became the servant that we desperately need. I'm going to say that again. The king we didn't expect became the servant we desperately need. Because this moment isn't just about humility, it's about revelation. Jesus is showing us what God is actually like. He's not distant. He's not self-protective. He's not demanding to be served. Instead, he's moving toward us, stooping low, serving in ways that feel almost uncomfortable to receive. And this act points beyond the towel and beyond the basin. Because in just a few hours, Jesus will take on an even greater act of service. He won't just wash their feet. He's going to give his life. Paul echoes this in Philippians 2, 6 through 8. He says this, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You see, the towel leads to the cross. The basin leads to the blood. This is our King. This is our King. Not the one we expected, but exactly the one we need. So what do we do with this? Because it's one thing to admire what Jesus did. It's another thing to follow him into it, into what he did. Jesus didn't say, be impressed by this. He said, I've given you an example to follow. Let's bring this close tonight. Where in your life are you resisting the towel? Where in your life are you resisting the towel? Where are you holding on to position, preference, or pride? Is it in your marriage? Are you waiting to be served instead of choosing to serve? Is it in your family? Are you keeping score instead of giving grace? Is it in the church? Are you consuming more than contributing? Is it in your daily life? Are you too busy, too important, or too guarded to kneel? Because the truth is, serving like Jesus is costly. It's inconvenient. It's unnoticed. It's sometimes unappreciated. And yet, that's exactly where the life of Christ is formed in us. But there's another side to this too. Some of us struggle not with serving, but rather with being served. Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet because it exposed his need. And if we're honest, we'd rather look strong than be vulnerable. But the thing is, you cannot follow a servant king if you refuse to be served by him. You cannot receive salvation while rejecting humility. You cannot embrace the cross without first admitting that you need the cross. So tonight, the invitation is twofold. First, receive the service of Jesus, his grace, his forgiveness, his cleansing. And then second, reflect the service of Jesus through humility, love, and action. Live holiness. Because the king we didn't expect became the servant we desperately need. Imagine what would happen if we truly lived this, my friends. Not just as individuals, but as a church. A place where people don't fight for position. They look for ways to serve. Needs are noticed before they're announced. Humility becomes the culture, not the exception. Imagine a church where the question isn't, what do I get, but who can I serve? That kind of church doesn't just grow, it shines the community around it. That kind of church looks like Jesus, the servant king. And this is where this weekend is taking us, from the towel to the cross, to the empty tomb, to resurrection life. Tonight, we pause here. We pause at the feet of Jesus, at the basin and the towel, at the moment where the king kneels. We remember the king we didn't expect became the servant we desperately need.